say hello to a new friend on an old road. Take a two-lane trip of memories to mysteries unknown. Come along for the ride. Jim Hinckley's America. Jim Hinckley's America.
Hey, good morning, everyone. We're going to have a great visit with Wade Bray this morning. It is currently 83 degrees here at the studios of Jim Hinckley's America in Kingman, Arizona, within spitting distance of legendary Route 66. Going to be another warm one, pushing about 105 plus, it looks like. Kind of to be expected this time of year, I suppose, but you can get too much of a good thing. I've had a few inquiries about Louis Keene, our good friend down at the Uranus Fudge Company and General Store. Had a little correspondence with him yesterday. He is on the road to recovery. He's had a pretty tough go of things. And if you're in the neighborhood of Uranus Fudge Company, well, it's just a little bit up the road there to Cuba, Missouri. Might stop in and say hello to Connie Eccles at the Wagon Wheel Motel, the oldest continuously operated motel on Route 66. And she's quite a host. It's quite a place. Hey, good morning, Wade. How are you doing today?
Good morning. I'm doing well. I'm talking to you from Albuquerque. So,
you made it all the way to Albuquerque. A good 480-mile run yesterday.
I did. It was a good run. I took some of your advice and saw some things I hadn't seen before, and just it was a rare chance to, you know, not really have to be anywhere at a certain time. So I really took advantage of that and saw some of the sights and went through some of the towns that I'd not been through before, and it was great.
Yeah, I'm like you. I never get to really play tourist. I've always got a destination I have to be in. It kind of it's enjoyable, but it's just not quite the same.
Definitely not. I can't even remember the last time I had the ability to kind of just go, hey, you know what? I think I'm going to go check that out. I mean, that just never happens anymore. So it was really, really nice. So it's always, you know, when you're working on a project and you finish it, there's always kind of that, you know, just like, I don't know, project let down a little bit where you just kind of like, you're not really sure what you're going to do the next day. And it was really a great way to just spend a day doing kind of whatever I wanted and resetting and just taking in, you know, just the beautiful stuff along the way. So,
yeah, the project let down. I understand you're so used to running, trying to meet that deadline. And all of a sudden it's like there's a vacuum. You got to fill it with something.
Very much so, yeah. And this year in particular, you know, we did the second year of Route 66 Road Fest in Tulsa that ended at the end of June, and then went straight into that from that to, you know, wrapping up the Angel Delgadillo exhibit at the powerhouse in Kingman. And so there was really no time to even think about wrapping up Roadfest before going straight into that. And so, you know, we just finished that, you know, the opening on Thursday, of course you were there, which was great. And, you know, wrap that up. And then it was like, okay, I have to be in Albuquerque on Monday morning for a meeting. So now what? And the answer was, I'm going to take my time on this drive from Kingman to Albuquerque and enjoy things. So it was really, really nice.
That exhibit, that story file exhibit that you created, put together for Angel. Angel Delgadillo, first of all, you know, everything I've done, I have built on the shoulders of giants, and he's probably the biggest giant of all. And this exhibit is a game changer. And I'll tell you, for communities, not just on Route 66, but communities that want to preserve their history, reach out to a new generation that's used to interactive exhibits, interactive things. This could really be a game changer for those communities.
Yeah, I really like what we were able to do there. It's not a very big space, but I feel like we were able to really maximize what we had there. And giving credit where credit is due, the story file part of that exhibit, that was put together by Nikki Seegers and the Arizona Association and Josh there at the city. And, you know, that story file thing had already been created when I was brought in to design the rest of the exhibit. But man, what a cool thing that is. I'd seen one once before, but never really worked with one. And, you know, for people that don't know this, the way these story files work is, you know, they go in and they film hours and hours and hours of video with a subject, and then it's set up in the exhibit so that you can come and ask Angel a question. And I mean, and obviously they need questions related to, you know, the subject matter. I mean, if you walk up and ask him who's going to win the Super Bowl this year, he's probably not going to have an answer for that one. But, you know, it's pretty amazing. And so you can walk up and ask a question, and it feels like, you know, he's sitting there looking at you on a screen and he's answering your question, you know. And so one of the things that I am really trying to do with the work that I'm doing on exhibits now, and it all kind of sprung from what we do with Roadfest, but is to make it, like you said, to make it more interactive. And, you know, museums have always been a look, don't touch kind of proposition. And I really think that, you know, with all the time that people spend on screens now, you're already separated so much from whatever subject you're looking into. And so the idea of being able to interact more directly, you know, with the Angel exhibit, you know, I found a chair that is almost identical to his barber chair. It was made in the 1920s by the same company. It's the same model. And you can sit in that chair and have your picture taken, and it looks like, you know, Angel's about to do, you know, cut your hair. And, you know, more than a selfie trick, you know, it really is kind of about, you know, sit in that chair and just soak it in a little bit, feel kind of what that's like, and really giving people the opportunity to interact with history and kind of connect to the people in those stories. That's really what I'm wanting to do a whole lot more of as I work on things like this.
Well, the interactive museum concept is crucial. People are not into the static museums so much anymore. And you mentioned don't touch. There's a museum out in El Segundo, California, the Zimmerman's Automobile Driving Museum. And these gentlemen got together, excuse me, and they were talking about how there's so little interest in pre-World War II cars in people under 50 years of age. And they came to the conclusion it's because when people go to car shows, don't touch. So they started this driving museum. And every Sunday, they take four or five cars out of the museum. And when you buy your ticket, they take you for a ride. It might be a DeLorean. It might be a 1905 Cadillac. It might be a Pacer. But they take you out for a drive. And I think that's what we got to do more of.
Yeah, that's a really cool concept. You know, I just, you know, I have three kids myself, and they're not young anymore. I mean, my youngest is 19, my oldest is 23, and they're, you know, out in the world doing their thing. But, you know, it wasn't that long ago that I remember taking them to, you know, events or museums or festivals or, you know, and it is a challenge because they are so accustomed to, you know, having the world in their hands with the phone or the iPad or whatever it is, and trying to get them to step away from that device and kind of take things in. And obviously the presentation has a lot to do with it, but I think also, and another thing that I'm really looking into with some future projects is utilizing that technology to interact as well. And so really it's just, you know, with Roadfest, you know, we really went as far as we could possibly go to be, you know, as immersive as possible with those exhibits. And so we're hitting them with, you know, the soundtrack that goes with that particular exhibit. We've got the costumed actors that are interacting with them one-on-one. You know, you've got the traditional museum presentation stuff as well, but, you know, two cars that are in there, and everything that we do, we're trying to hit people from every possible way, because, you know, everyone's different. Everybody reacts to different things. Some people react to sound more, and some are more visual. And so I think the more that we can give them, the better chance we have of landing, you know, that information or what we're trying to say with a given exhibit. And I think with the Angel exhibit in particular, you know, first of all, such an honor to be asked to do that project. I mean, in doing the research and doing the work for Roadfest, of course, I knew Angel's story and I knew, you know, who he was, but I had never met the man. And so when Nikki asked me to do that and I got to travel out and, you know, when I met you the first time out in Needles at the information fair, you know, I went on, you know, the next day or two and went into Seligman and got to sit down with Angel and the family. And I spent about an hour and a half with him. And I mean, what a sweet guy. The history part is without question. I mean, that story is there, but, you know, such a giving, kind, always one to include everybody else. I mean, it's always we with Angel. It's never I. And it's just such a privilege to be able to tell that story and kind of help put that in front of, you know, more people that maybe wouldn't have the opportunity to make it to Seligman, but to be able to kind of experience that is such an honor.
Well, Angel, you know, there's another aspect not even associated with history or Route 66 when it comes to Angel, and that is inspiration. If you Absolutely. don't think one person with passion and dedication and vision can change the world, you need to talk to Angel. And I'll tell you, you know, he said, you know, for close to 10 years, he was just doing a Don Quixote impersonation, jousting at windmills. But this man really has, he's the cornerstone for the entire national Route 66 Renaissance movement. And he's kept his humility. He loves the people. He flat just enjoys being with people.
Yeah, it's an amazing story, and you're right. You know, when I was there doing my interview with him, like I said, I was in there for about an hour and a half in his little shop area there at the gift store now. And, you know, he sat in the barber chair and I sat across from him and I recorded the conversation because I didn't want to have my head down taking notes. I like to be able to look someone in the face when I'm having a conversation with them. And so I recorded it, and about halfway through, a couple came in and, I don't remember, they're from the upper Midwest somewhere, maybe Michigan, but, they came in and, you know, he wasn't really sure what to do because he's got these visitors and I'm trying to talk to him and I'm recording. And I was like, no, go do your thing. I'm good. I'm fine. And so he just did what he does. And he was so welcoming, and that you sat and talked to them, and he got up and said, here, sit in the chair. And, you know, I mean, it's probably something he's done, you know, thousands and thousands of times, but, you know, he made those people feel special and welcome there. And, you know, he's been doing that for years and years and years. And it was really cool to watch him interact with those people, because even though it interrupted our process, I got to actually see what it was really about. And so between seeing that interaction and then in talking to him and talking to the rest of the family, seeing the original location and all of the stuff, I mean, it just, the thing that kept shouting at me was family. It's all about family. And, you know, that's why, you know, I arranged the exhibit in Kingman the way I did, because to me, everything about Angel was about family. You know, I mean, he was an extraordinary, like, woodworker, but the family said, hey, you need to be a barber. You need to, you know, keep this shop going like your father. And, you know, he went to school and did it, and he, you know, did it until just about a year ago, you know. But so it was about honoring his parents and honoring his father in that way, and then taking care of his family. At the end of the day, you know, that initial instinct when Seligman was bypassed was, I got to take care of my family, you know. And what grew from that was, I've got to take care of my Seligman family. And what grew from that was, I've got to take care of my Route 66 family. And I think that's why that exhibit is organized the way it is. I think with Angel, it is a huge family story. And now that family is, you know, international. And it's just, like you said, you couldn't find a more inspiring guy, really. Like I said, it was just an honor to work on the project. So,
well, you know, he's one of the rare people whose fame and fortune has never gone to his head. I mean, here's a guy who's known throughout the world. He's done Super Bowl commercials. He's posed with Playboy centerfold models. He's done all these things, and he lives in the house he was born in. You know, yeah. He's a simple. It's never gone to his head ever. It's just the angel is angel. His brother Juan was another story. He was a character. Juan was a character.
I did not have the good fortune of meeting him, but I've definitely heard the stories. And honestly, with him, just some of the photos that I've seen, you can tell. you can just see it in the photos, you know.
Well, that snow-capped drive-in in Seligman that Juan built, that's another example of Route 66 is Americana, America personified. It's distilled and it's right there. And Juan built that snow-capped drive-in. He was working for the railroad. And he wanted to do something different, decided to build that drive-in. He started building it out of salvaged railroad materials, old railroad ties. Anything he could scrounge is how he built that place.
That's amazing. Well, on the way here to Albuquerque, I did swing through Seligman to drop off the baking sheet at Westside Lilo's from the delicious carrot cake. That we had for the opening, and I stopped into the shop real quick because I wanted to grab a birdhouse, and because Angel's returned to his woodworking now that he's not cutting hair, and I had to grab a birdhouse to take back to Oklahoma with me. But absolutely packed. I mean, both the restaurant and Angel's place, there were at least two buses, and just absolutely slammed in both places, which is amazing and great at the same time. But one of the things that struck me when I went into Lilo's to return the baking sheet, it's not that normal to walk into a restaurant carrying a 20 by 40 baking sheet. It's a little strange. And it was very busy as well, as it usually is during eating times. But they're so, so friendly, and are you going to stay in for breakfast? And I'm like, I got to get down the road, but thanks. And it really occurred to me, I say all the time that, customer service is dead, in bigger cities and people are busy, everybody's trying to get where they need to be. And, it's just, people just don't go that extra step. But that's what, you mentioned the Americana aspect of the route, and it does still exist. It just only exists in certain places. And when you're in a place like Seligman, or, I experienced it in Kingman, I haven't been in Albuquerque long enough to say, but that does still exist. And I think that's part of it is, I think that the romanticized version of the route and what America was like during that heyday, some of that does still exist. When you're in those smaller towns, they treat every person that comes through there like the guy down the block that comes in for breakfast every week. And it's really special. It's just not something that you get. I don't live in Manhattan. I live in Tulsa, Oklahoma. But I mean, even there, it exists, but it's rare, And so I think not only do you, when you travel the route, not only do you get to see some of the things that have been there forever and are part of that story that is that Americana, but it does feel like it when you're in some of those places.
Seligman, speaking of Westside Lilo's, have you ever had a chance to talk with Lilo herself?
I have not, no.
There's a great story. I was just up there the other night. We had a meeting and a dinner with the German Route 66 Association and sampling her carrot cake. There's another story, and incredible. The short version is she's in her 80s now. She comes in pretty much every morning and bakes cakes and goods. So she's there at 5 o'clock in the morning. We were there for dinner at after 7. She's from Wiesbaden, Germany, originally. Her husband just passed away last year. And here she is in Seligman greeting people in several languages. She sat down, she was serving coffee. She's been there, all day, 12 and 14 hours. She's driven by, she's enjoying it. And another aspect of this is when you look at Seligman and Ash Fork, Arizona, there's two lessons, not just on Route 66, but in communities in general. Ash Fork has a much more interesting history. It's a much more fascinating town. And it is absolutely dead. It's dying on the vine. And why is Seligman booming? And Seligman, it's busier than Times Square on New Year's Eve half the time. Because they've got people with passion and vision, makes all the difference in the world. They're able to build partnerships.
I will say, like, you know, I've been there now 3 or 4 times in the process of doing all of this. And part of the time, you know, was February or March, you know, I was there yesterday, during the week, on the weekend, early in the day, late in the day. I mean, there are people there all the time. And it's such a testament to what, you know, what's happened there. I mentioned the birdhouses. I should plug this, you know, so Angel's making these birdhouses that he's numbering, and all 100% of the proceeds for these birdhouses is going to build an entrance thing for Seligman. That's really cool. I saw a drawing, a rendering of that. And so, if you're in need of a birdhouse, or if you just want to support a good cause on the route, you should go in and grab one of those. They're selling them out of the shop, and he's making them from, you know, just recovered wood and, you know, that kind of stuff, but they're very cool. So, it's, again, he just continues to give back to the community.
Yeah, he's really a fascinating fella. You know, going back to your project, building these exhibits, you know, Wade, I got to tell you, especially with the Route 66, it's not limited to just Route 66 communities by any stretch. But with the Route 66 Centennial, I think that I can't think of a community along Route 66 that couldn't benefit from having an exhibit similar to this. I just can't think of one.
Well, I'm certainly not going to disagree with you on that one. You know, it's so unbelievably gratifying doing these types of exhibits and working in these communities and with these people that, you know, I just can't imagine getting tired of doing the work. You know, I mean, I love the research. I like the thing. You know, obviously I come from a design background, but I'm also just at heart, I'm just a big history nerd, and I love to help tell stories and try to do it in a way that people will engage with it and tune into it a little bit. And I think that, you know, there's such a contrast between the Road Fest and an exhibit like the Angel one, and not the least of which is just the scope of them. You know, with Road Fest, just the journey, the historical part of that is, you know, about 50,000 square feet. So it's, it's like taking an entire museum building on the road, you know, and it's massive, and it's, you know, it's going to take you an hour and a half, 2 hours to go through that. And, you know, that's a commitment that, like we talked about earlier, especially with kids, that it's not always easy to accomplish. You know, people may see a third of it or half of it, or if you're, you know, a lucky 2/3, but with the exhibit like the Angel one and the type that, you know, I would be able to do in these smaller communities along the way, it's really it's bite-sized enough that you can walk in and spend, you know, 20 minutes and really kind of get that snapshot. And I love that. And also there's obviously the inherent things that you can do with a permanent installation that you can't do with something that needs to, you know, fold up and go in a truck at the end of Sunday to get in the, you know, get in the truck to get down the road to the next place. You know, I would not really be able to have 100-year-old barber chair out on the road, or that 80-year-old, you know, barber pole that's working, that's sitting right next to it there in Kingman. And, you know, a lot of the artifacts and the presentation and the story file and all those things are things that, you know, you can do in a more permanent setting that you can't do with one that goes on the road. So, but yeah, you know, as we build towards the centennial, it's just getting the word out there and reminding people of how special the route is, was, continues to be, will be. It's just such a pleasure to be a part of that process. And I hope to, you know, this trip, I've been able to see a lot of things I hadn't been able to see before, because in the past, coming from Oklahoma to Kingman to work on the project, you know, I was flying into Vegas and driving down, and I'd be in Kingman and Seligman, but then all that stuff in between, I didn't get to really see. So this time driving from Tulsa to Kingman, you know, on the way out, I was able to see a couple of things, but on the way back, I'm really being able to take some time and drive through you know, Williams and Holbrook. And, you know, I took the detour yesterday that you suggested, and I went to the Petrified Forest, which was amazing. And even though that's not necessarily the, you know, the route, it's just all of that stuff. I mean, it's amazing. It's just a beautiful, beautiful drive. And when you're from the part of the world that I'm from, you know, this landscape is so foreign. You know, I mean, it really is like being on another planet when you're out there and you're looking at mesas and, you know, desert, and that does not exist up where I live. So it's pretty, it's just an amazing, amazing journey. And it's so easy to see why people come from all over the world to make that drive, because it's incredible. It really is.
The Painted Desert Petrified Forest is the only national park that was bisected by Route 66. It went right through the park. As far as the Southwest, that's a key component of Route 66 tourism, and it has been since even the era of the National Old Trails Road. The Grand Circle, roughly Kingman North, Grand Canyon, Zion, Monument Valley, that kind of thing, that's the most visited tourist area in the entire United States for domestics or international travelers. And it borders on Route 66 in a lot of places.
Sure.
So, you know, that's another component to this. The original U.S. Highway 66 Association marketed that. What you're seeing and experiencing is really fantastic. And I got a couple things I can suggest. Of course, now that you've got a day there in Albuquerque, you might want to check out Old Town, downtown Albuquerque. It's right on Route 66. It dates to the mid-18th century. It's really a fascinating district. And on your way home tomorrow, the National Route 66 Museum, or on your way home Monday or Tuesday, the National Route 66 Museum in Elk City and the Oklahoma Route 66 Museum in Clinton, Oklahoma.
Oh, they're great, yeah.
The National Route 66 Museum had that great exhibit with the front half of a vintage Cadillac. Did you see it? Where you can sit in it, and they've got the screen set up so it's like you're driving down the road.
Yeah.
Do you think it would be possible to create a hybrid traveling exhibit that blended some of the Tulsa Road Fest with exhibits like this story file? Would that be feasible to create?
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, that's sort of the dream. I mean, I would love to be able to, you know, one of the things we learned, and of course you live and learn, right? You do something, you learn from everything that you work on. But, you know, the dream for Road Fest is still to be able to get that thing out on the road and have it in places other than Tulsa. But it is very large, but I do think that there are ways that we can tweak even that. But yes, creating something that can continue to move around, I think that's, you know, it's the irony of all of it is the whole point of the Road Fest. And I say this, you know, every year, and I mean it, is, you know, the Road Fest is Route 66 for 2 or 3 days out of the year. All these communities, you know, are the route every day, you know, 365 days a year. And so, and the goal really, honestly, of Road Fest is, yeah, we want to honor the history and we want people to have a good time, but we really want to inspire them to get in the car and get out on the actual route. That really is the point. You know, I mean, AAA, you know, hired me to create that thing for a reason. I mean, AAA is about people in cars, right? And so it's always been about trying to inspire people to get in their cars and go see. And not everybody has 2 weeks to start in Chicago and drive all the way to Santa Monica, but you know, wherever you are, you can take a day trip, a weekend trip, and get out and see something, or maybe take a long weekend, or, you know, during the summertime, put the kids in the car and take a week or two to go see more. And so, yeah, I mean, it really does need to have something that can make that journey with, you know, with the people and be seen all over. And that is definitely something I hope to accomplish.
One of the things, you know, there's other highways. US 6 is an amazing highway. It has more of what we expect from, like, Route 66, small towns, cafes, diners, mom and pops. US 6 is an astounding highway. But I have no other words for this, but it lacks the infectious magic of Route 66. And Route 66 is a lot like the Grand Canyon. You can see photographs, you can see paintings. The Grand Canyon is extraordinary. But you stand on the rim of that canyon, and it becomes awe-inspiring. And Route 66, you can read about it, you can talk about it, you can watch videos and listen to people. But you drive that road, you sit down and have a chance to visit with Angel. You stop in Westside Lilo's for some of her great carrot cake or cinnamon rolls, or some authentic German schnitzel, and listen to the people. It changes everything.
Yeah, and one of the things you just said really piqued something for me, and that is, you know, obviously in doing, you know, 2 years worth of research prior to launching Roadfest, you know, I mean, I read every book I could get my hands on about the route and about those communities and about the people, and even, you know, working with photos from the books and getting photos that I could use in the exhibit and doing all that work. And so, you know, you feel very familiar, but then you drive into a town and it's like, oh, look, there it is. You know, I mean, there's certain things that I've seen in photos so many times, but it's just not the same thing as standing there and looking at it or going inside and interacting with it somehow. I mean, one of the things, I don't remember who I was talking to on this trip, but someone, I was having a conversation about the drive from Nils to Kingman, that very first time that I came out this way, you know, making that, the Oatman drive, right? I mean, I was so enthralled by it. I wanted to take some photos, and even at one point, probably not the most advised thing to do in the world, but I tried to shoot some video while I was driving because it's such a crazy, windy, insane drive. And none of that gets it across. You just can't do it with a phone. You know, it's one of those things you just really have to experience in the car, because no matter what you do with a phone, camera, whatever, it's just not the same. So again, people you just got to get out and see it, you know.
That stretch through Oatman on that pre-52 alignment, Stevie Wonder cannot take a bad graph out there. And you can get into things like real time travel on that type of road is as close to time travel as you can get. And I've had this opportunity a couple times. A few years ago, I worked with the Historic Vehicle Association that was recreating Edsel Ford's 1915 adventure in a 1915 Ford. And on Facebook, there's a fellow, he goes by the handle of Tebow Barn. And if you look him up, he also has a YouTube channel. He's obsessed with Model A and Model T Fords. And back in 2020, he did a cross-country trip from New Hampshire, to Santa Monica. Picked up Route 66 in Chicago, and he did it in a 1929 Ford. And he got an incredible video of driving that St. Greaves Pass from the dash of his Model A. The sounds, the experience, that is as close to time travel as I think a fellow's going to get.
He's a better man than I. I don't know if I could do that one. That's you got to be pretty hardy to take that on.
Ooh, that's a tough one. Wade, you know, I thank you for doing this and joining me this morning, taking time for your schedule. There's a lot to see and do in Albuquerque, some great museums. Like I say, Old Town, I can't get enough of the Old Town district in Albuquerque. But there's just a lot of things to do and see, of course, in Albuquerque. And on your way home, Santa Rosa, you got a blue hole.
Yeah, I was thinking about that yesterday. Once I got into that mode of actually being able to stop and look at things, I started thinking, what else can I stop and see? So,
well, the Blue Hole is one of the few attractions you'll find on Route 66 anywhere that is no hype. It is a big blue hole. But it's a really amazing. It's quite a sight. It was a roadside park along the original alignment of Route 66, and quite amazing. And I think, you know, I think today you've been able to inspire some people. We've got like Maggie May here from East Lansing. She's with the R.E. Olds Museum up there. And I think you piqued some interest with these ideas.
Well, I hope so. I hope that, you know, like I said, the route is one of those things that, you know, you kind of start to scratch the surface, then, man, it pulls you in pretty quickly. And so It is a piece of America that you just can't get enough of once you start to dig in. So I hope people get out and enjoy it the way I have.
Hey, Wade, we won't tie you up, but I want to, if people do reach out and they're interested in doing something like this story file, an exhibit of this nature, do you mind if I pass your name along?
Oh, no, absolutely. I would love that. I would greatly appreciate that. I love, like I said, these are passion projects for me, and I would love to get my hands on some more of these great stories and help get that history out there. So absolutely.
I have a feeling you're going to get very busy in the next few years. And there are so many of these stories out there, and these Route 66 communities, I can't think of one that doesn't have something that they can do with this. And preserve their history, create a sense of community, and turn their town into a small destination.
Absolutely.
Wade, thank you. And I want to thank everybody who joined us this morning. We're going to let you guys go. Next week, we've got Joe Sonderman's going to join us. And Joe's not only a prolific author, but he's also with the Route 66 Association of Missouri. He's a board member. He's the editor for their wonderful magazine. And I have yet to find anybody who knows more about the history and the hidden places in St. Louis than Joe. So I think you're going to really, really like this. And then the week after that, we've got something really unusual for you and different. Kent Bakke and Roderick Wild will be joining us. They're with the Historic Electric Vehicle Foundation, working on creating a museum and experience here in Kingman. But there are more. Kent Bakke has been involved with coffee, importing Italian espresso machines. He's got a real passion for coffee and electric vehicles. And Roderick Wild is not only passionate about electric vehicles and converting vehicles to electric vehicles, but he also has another passion that he doesn't talk much about, the collecting of 19th century bicycles. So that's going to be kind of a different situation. Hey, before we go, does anyone have any questions for Wade, or thoughts, suggestions? Wade, like I said, it was great talking with you. It was great visiting with you. And I know our paths are going to cross again. My plan is to head east in, if everything works, I'll be heading east in October to the Miles of Possibility Conference in Bloomington, Illinois. So maybe I'll give you a holler in Tulsa.
That sounds great. Have fun with Joe. He's one of my favorites. There is never a dull moment with Joe, so you'll have a good time.
Joe and I have had... I know we're running a little behind here, and I do apologize, but I'll share this with you real quick. I got with Joe and I were supposed to be doing a book signing in Lebanon, Missouri, and we had stopped at Zeno's for breakfast, a classic roadside restaurant that's gone now. That was in Rolla. And Roman Rich Denkala had told us about this wonderful motel that was marooned on top of this hill. They had cut the hill for I-44 and the bypass and the motel closed. And he says, there's even clothes still hanging in the closets. So we had to see this. So we followed Roman Rich, Joe and I and Roman Rich, and we all went up on top of the hill. Here's this incredible Indiana Jones discovery. This motel still had the magic fingers beds. The roof's been leaking. The rooms are filled with raccoons. The office still has the checkbook in the desk. It was just astounding. And so we noticed the time. We're about 15 minutes late for the book signing. And Joe and I show up, and we look like we have been drugged through the briar patch. I literally had these thistle balls stuck in my hair. It was a great, great adventure. Yeah, we've had some fun, Joe and I.
Well, have a good time. Tell them I said hi, and I'll be talking to both of you soon, because you know the projects never stop. So we got lots of stuff to talk about all the time.
Sounds good, folks. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. And well, like I say, we'll do this again next week. Invite your friends, and let's make it a road trip inspired coffee party. Speaking of road trips, a little bit of music from Joel and Woody and the boys of the road crew. Adios, mi amigos.
Say hello to a new friend on an old road. Take a two-lane trip of memories into mysteries unknown. Come along for the ride. Jim Hinckley's America. Jim Hinckley's America.
Adios, my friends. Hey, speaking of road trips, real quick, I had a note from Root Trip USA. I want to post their website pretty soon. And if you need help planning a trip or you want a worry-free, bespoke holiday road trip, United States or Canada, talk to the folks there at Root Trip USA. I think they got what you need. We'll talk soon, my friends. Bye-bye.